It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. On this week's show, well, what else would we be talking about? Stephen Drake, how are you?
Rob, I'm fantastic. Yeah. Bit sore after the weekend now. Back into it. Back into the cut and thrust at 38 years of age. But I'm recovering well.
Stephen Drake is potentially, we're working out a contract, going to present the new Wexford Football Podcast behind the Mayo News Football Podcast paywall. There's a chance. Club football, we should stress.
Talk myself up every week, basically.
Enough of that. Mick Foley's back on the podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Rob. I'm good. Jeez, you must be doing some market research. Wexford Club Football Podcast for Mayo. Interesting.
Well, you see, I'm playing for Navena, Mick. So my wife moved down there. So I had the transfer went through from Balahadrine there about 6 or 7 weeks ago. So I made my debut at the weekend. So that's the context around that.
You're a gory man now, are you?
I'm a gory man. Yeah. There you go.
This is the problem with Patreon and all our paywall podcasts. We presume our entire family knows everything we're talking about, but we're back out in the weekly podcast here, and Mick Foley representing the rest of the world going, what the hell are the lads talking about?
I am the great unwashed. Literally, actually. Literally.
Well, that's the wonders of podcasts. No one can see that. Although you did get the compliment from our producer, Jared Duffy, and he doesn't throw compliments around easy. The best sounding guest we've ever had. That's how good your microphone is.
Well, thank you very much.
Listen, I feel like we're waffling. We haven't mentioned Kerry once. Mayo and Kerry, Stephen. Wow. What a game. Box office. Wow.
Yeah. Top two going at it. Hammer and tongs early in the year. Look, it's something to look forward to the weekend. From our perspective, it will give us a sense of where we're at, really. I think more so than any other game so far this year. Obviously, we've come through the other tests reasonably well, especially after the deluge that was the Donegal game. You know, we've performed very, very well over the last three, not without, you know, the occasional issue. But this weekend, we're playing the foreign team of the country. You know, they have been, you know, look, you'd have to say they've been irresistible so far. They've trimmed the vast majority of teams they've played. They look very, very good. And it'll be a test for us. And it'll give us that indication of where we are.
Yeah, Mick. How big a game is this in the wider picture of the Gaelic football season of 2022?
I think, you know, when any of the top four play, you know, they'll all be looking to put down markers against each other anyway. So, individually, collectively, all that stuff. And, from a Mayo perspective, when you get the chance to go down to Tralee, Tralee is an unpleasant place to go, like, to play a match. It's not a nice, when I say it's not a nice ground, it's a nasty ground, like, compared to Killarney. I mean, Killarney, you have all this guff about mountains and a lovely place and everybody goes down for a great weekend. And it's great. And it's true. I mean, I say guff in that sort of way of, like, you know, people almost forget there's a match going on when you talk about going to Killarney. Whereas in Tralee, it's all about the match because, I mean, it's closer in. It's a more intense sort of venue. They're getting great crowds down there for the league games. No, it's sold out. I mean, it's sold out as it is. So the atmosphere is going to be rocking. So from a Mayo perspective going down, it's another, I suppose, version of a test. I mean, they had a test in Croke Park. You know, they had the test against Armagh as an Ulster team having to kind of, you know, come back in the second half and you know, get there on the line and keep going to the very end to get the result. And no, this is a different story. No, going down to Kerry when they'll be comfortable down there playing their game. And also there's the aspect that the Kerry-Mayo rivalry is a proper rivalry compared to, you know, say a decade ago or so like that. In the Horan era has made it a proper rivalry. So, I mean, for Kerry to get a result against Mayo will mean just as much as it would in the other way around. So, there's a good bit. It's nice for both teams to have a game like this at this time of the year, you know? Suits them.
Yeah, it's interesting, Stephen, because it's true. Like, I mean, we grew up with the idea that Kerry were the kingpins, Mayo would give it their all, and they had that big win in 96 in our lifetime. But outside of that, this era is so unusual for the previous 50 years that Mayo are toe-to-toe with Kerry, all right? They've got the All-Ireland out of it in the last decade, and Mayo didn't. But bigger picture, they've really matched them well.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you just look at the results as such, you know, and we obviously, you know, prior to prior to sort of the 2010s, you know, the results in, you know, the noughties, 04, 06, for example, and prior to that, they were particularly chastening experiences for us. So, you know, Mick is right, you know, the James Harden era has really sort of, you know, taken the rivalry to an actual rivalry, so to speak, because before that, it really wasn't. And again, you know, that's a good thing for us. Because, you know, that level of trepidation that would have always been there before and you know, the valiant defeats and the valiant loser tag, you know, would have been accepted. But this team has been different, you know, over the last 10 or so years. And again, notwithstanding that All-Ireland that Kerry snuck in 2014, you know, it's been a very, very healthy rivalry with both teams, you know, landing significant blows, you know, across the decade. So look, again, at the weekend will be no different. Again, it's two teams in form. From our perspective, you know, you're right. It's a free shot ultimately. Both sets of players will want to win. Both sets of managements will want to win. But it won't be the end of the world if neither of them do, you know, as long as the performance is there and they have plenty to take from it. But again, you know, there has been a little bit of apathy that's built over the last number of years, and it'll make sure that it's a tasty enough fixture at the weekend.
Mick, Jack O'Connor's record looks pretty damn good against Mayo. 4-5-6. He was there in 11 when they gave us a trim-in and a semi-final in James Horan's first year. Not bad. Yeah. Does that matter?
No.
Probably doesn't.
Nothing.
Really.
Means no. Nothing at all for all the reasons Stephen outlined there. Like, I mean, that's a completely different era now. Like, if you think about it, it's so completely irrelevant, like, because...
Yeah, even for him, like, he doesn't have any book on Mayo anymore.
Like, that Kerry team, like, you got to keep in mind, I mean, whatever about Mayo, and we could bang on about historic beatings and All-Ireland finals and whatever else, right? But, like, that Kerry team of the noughties, in my opinion, was probably the third greatest Kerry team of all time, maybe the second. When you consider, like, so the 4-in-a-row team that nearly won the 5, and then we came on and won 3 more. We're the golden years team were the number one. Then you've got the team of the 20s and 30s that won 29-32, that were an outstanding team and were spoken about. Like when the golden years team were coming through, people in Kerry would compare them to the 29-32 team. So that's where the hands of history hold each other there. So coming forward again then, I mean, in the modern era, that Kerry team was outstanding. I mean, they were in All-Ireland finals repeatedly through the noughties themselves. It was Kerry Tyrone. They were the only show in town, really, when it came down to it, a lot of the time. They were the only teams. After Armagh won it, sure, they were the only teams that won All-Irelands. Between Armagh and Cork, it was Kerry Tyrone every year. So, like, that was the quality then. You look at Kerry now, they are, you know, again, as you say, they nicked the one in 2014, but in a Kerry context, like, they're on a run without an All-Ireland that's heading up towards their worst ever. Like, I think this is now... their third worst, their third longest stretch or something like that. It's one All-Ireland, lads, in between, one in 2009. One in 2009. 2009 to 22, they've won one All-Ireland in 13 years. Well, 12 years, we'll say, excluding this year. So, I mean, from a Kerry perspective, that is head-wrecking. So, you know, it's a different scenario. The one thing that's similar for Jack with this crowd is he'll certainly see the outline of an All-Ireland with this team, and he knows them very well, and he knows that even coming into the job, that the work that had to be done, okay, they were really low. I mean, I know now that, you know, after the All-Ireland final, Mayo took a fair drubbing from their own people, but I mean, it would have been similar in Kerry, but he knows that the gap from where they were against Tyrone that day to winning an All-Ireland, that last 5% is always the hardest bit, but it's very bridgeable for them, particularly given the landscape at the moment. So that's the one similarity with the noughties, that he knows he is a team. If they win one, they could win multiple. But it's to win the first one. And Mayo are a major obstacle to winning that one.
Brilliantly set up. Let's hear from a man from Castle Island. Tony Lean joined us earlier. This will give you the Kerry set up, and then we'll be back to us to really set the scene for the weekend. A mention of a new sponsor, Nigel Reap Office Supplies. Yes, friend of the podcast, Nigel Reap as well. But his main day job, as you well know, most of you will know, is in the printing business. Posters, signs, lotto booklets. That'll speak to a lot of our GA listeners. He can get it all done for you up in Knockmore. Give him a shout at 086 858 086-858-6572. 086-858-6572. Nigel Reap, Office Supplies, has come on board for our Mayo News Football Podcast weekly show to support us this year. And we thank him for that. Of course, he sponsored one of our Players of the Week awards during the club championship last year. And we'll be chatting to him later in the season, no doubt, too, about all things football. In the meantime, big thanks to Nigel for joining the team, so to speak. Joining us on the line, Irish Examiner and a Castle Island man, Tony Lean. First time on the podcast. You're very welcome along to the Mayo Football Podcast.
Thanks, Rob.
It's great to have you on. Not surprisingly, we want to talk to anyone from Kerry at the best of times. But right now, a man in the know on the Jack O'Connor revolution. Can we call it that when it's like yet another coming of Jack O'Connor? I don't think revolution.
No, it's hardly, it's not. It's hardly a revolution at this stage. What is it? This is his third go, isn't it? 2004 to 2006. And then he came back in 2009 until 2012. Yeah. Then Fitzmaurice took over. So is he my eighth Kerry manager covering, or is he still really back at about my sixth? I'm not sure. It's one of those ones where Jack is one of those guys. I've had a lot of, you know, Barneys with him, and he's the kind of guy who he doesn't retain the chip on his shoulder at all. Let's see, he gives you both barrels, but in fairness to him, I don't mind it, because he's the type of guy, he'll be fighting with you on a Wednesday night and he'll be texting or ringing you then or chatting about what you think of such and such a guy on the Thursday. He lets things go. He doesn't carry a grudge. But, you know, we know him down here as Cranky Jack for a reason. Like, he is, his kind of default setting is crankiness and then he kind of mellows as he goes. So that's fine too, though. I think most people in Kerry will take that, lads, as long as the results continue as they've started. Yeah, I think they'll take it. And you know what? It's kind of strange at the moment, because I know you mentioned the word there, Rob, about revolution or evolution. Like, he's not really done. He hasn't certainly done what James Horne has done this year in terms of springing 3-4. You know, new names. I know not new names to ye, but new names to the rest of the country. I mean, I'm pretty much guessing ye know every one of Jack O'Connor's squad already. I don't think there's any name there that you say, oh, who the hell is he? And I think that probably comes down to the, well, I won't call it a fact because I'll throw it out to ye. I would probably argue that on paper, certainly, I would say Kerry has the most complete squad in the country. That would be my contention. In terms of the options from 1 to 25, I would say ability, talent-wise, options-wise, that's, I think, Kerry are the strongest squad in the country right now. But as we saw last year, as you know only too well, that doesn't guarantee anything on a given day. But it does guarantee him a lot of options.
Interesting that you say that, because I did look through the team and that was a striking the similarity game to game in terms of selections. We did a piece on Galway just to look at how they're getting on with Barry Colnander in the week, and I was saying the same thing to him, that Galway seemed to have a very settled squad. And we wondered, Tony, and maybe I'll start with this before we get a little bit deeper into Kerry, we wondered if the shape of the season was going to lead this to be the case for a lot of teams with the championship so close to the end of the league. You have to start picking your championship team. Yet James Horan has gone through 31 players, 28 of whom, Edwin McGrail tells us in the Mayo News today, have played at least a half of football. That's some alteration, really, in comparison to Kerry.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, because nobody, you know, okay, people will tell you that, you know, in the first round of the league, every team starts from the same standing start in the sense of that they've no points and they've no games played. But I would say, in terms of that word we started off with earlier, in terms of evolution, every county, every inter-county squad is at a different stage, is at a different point in their development. And even though Kerry have had a change of manager and Mayo still have the same manager, I would argue, obviously, that I wouldn't say the word turbulent, but there's been far more need for upheaval in Mayo than there probably has been in the Kerry group. There's been minimal changes Stefan Akunbor came back from Australia and he obviously dislocated his shoulder, so he's out injured now anyway. But apart from himself and maybe bringing Shane Murphy, the goalkeeper, back into the squad, realistically, like, you know, Kerry, whether it was under Peter Keane at the tail end of last year or under Jack O'Connor this year, are very similar. Whereas I think James Horn is obviously, lads, is obviously looking for, you know, he's still looking. He still isn't exactly happy with what he has. I mean, he's not drafting in options for the sake of options. So he's obviously looking what he has. So I would say Kerry are probably in a more, you mentioned Galway, you could look at Dublin. I think Armagh are well down the road of their development. So, but in terms of, we'll say the big four or big five, and you throw Donegal, Tyrone, Dublin, Mayo and Kerry in there, I would probably say Kerry are the most settled of that group of five.
Tony, just on that, like you mentioned that, obviously, in terms of personnel changes, you know, between last year and Peter Keane and Jack coming on board again this year, they've been minimal. But what do you see as the main difference in terms of, I suppose, the setup and the performance? You know, because I'm looking at it like, you know, sort of areas where they possibly struggled last year. You know, legs are on the middle at times. At times, they're probably carrying David Moran to a certain extent. Obviously, it's exceptionally talented footballer, but he has the mobility he used to have. And obviously then, you know, the propensity last year to give away, you know, the amount of goal chances they were giving away. What do you see as the main difference last year that Jack has come in and sort of honed in on, and obviously Mike Quirk and Jimmy Murphy, that shifted, you know, that shifted the narrative in that regard and shifted the performance? Okay,
are you ready for me to take you on a bit of a deep dive here? Because, and I'll tell you what, this will take you... This could take you into places that you don't want to go to, or certainly that Kerry people don't want to go to. There's an unspoken issue in Kerry that goes all the way back to 2011, beaten by Dublin in a thriller. 2013, beaten by Dublin in a thriller. That was a semi-final, if you remember. 2015... played absolutely dreadful in an All-Ireland final. Could have got over the line, though. Killian Young had a chance in the last minute to get an equalising goal and force an undeserved extra time. 2016, another classic, beaten by Dublin again. 2017, the drawn game in the All-Ireland semi-final against yourselves. 1 minute left in the game. Kerry are a point ahead. They get a free in the middle of the field. They do something absolutely ridiculous. I'll spare the players' name an embarrassment by saying who it was. Tried a quick free. Mayo turned the ball over, went down, equalised, and battered Kerry, if you remember, in the replay. Andy Moran destroying Shane Enright. I could go on. 2019, beating Dublin, a man more than Dublin, had four possessions in the last couple of minutes to kill the clock and turn the four of them over. I could go on. 2020, down in Páirc Uí. Should have been out the gate six times over against Cork. Ended up getting caught by a last-minute goal. Last year in the All-Ireland semi-final, far better than Tyrone on the day. Played the better football. You know, by the end of the scoreline, I think it was 22 points to 3-14. 22 scores to 17. This is not, lads, something... These are not isolated incidents. Kerry have a habit of not being able to get over the line for the last decade for whatever reason. And Jack O'Connor is absolutely aware of this fact. So while he's brought in great selectors in Dermot Murphy and Mike Quirk, he's also brought in Paddy Talley. And everybody will say, oh, does that mean Kerry are going more defensive? I would strongly argue it's to make Kerry more psychologically resilient, both in terms of their structure, in terms of their mindset, in terms of being the ability to close out games, to shut down games. And, you know, those are the things, again, that you might hear Kerry people whispering about inside in bars in Tralee, but you won't hear Kerry people talking about. It's an issue which is ongoing. There's a psychological brittleness about Kerry for the last decade, and no one can tell me otherwise. Tell me, lads, if you can know it, and you know your football, I'm sure. Tell me the last time you can remember Kerry digging out a really nip-and-tuck game in the last minute or two to win it. to actually come out the right side of a cliffhanger. When's the last time you can remember Kerry doing that?
Jeepers. Do you want to take a stab at that, Stephen?
The league final is irrelevant to yourselves ultimately. But in a championship game, possibly the All Ireland semi final against Mayo in 2014, I would say.
2014. That is the last one. And you would have to argue that Mayo left that after them the first day in Croke Park.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, the personnel then, you know, you look back then and look at the characters again that were on that team, you know, the likes of Mark O'Shea, the likes of Donaghy, look, you can go on and on and on.
Well, James O'Donoghy was Footballer of the Year that year.
He was.
Even though Keith Higgins did a masterful job on him on the day, I still think he finished with about 2, 4, or 5.
Oh, he got some critical scores in the closing drama in extra time, Tony, and it was just, or he won some critical frees as well that Mayo fans will still argue about. Yeah. But it was him winning the possession, and that's one of these things when people argue about refereeing decisions and stuff. Well, he still had possession, and he was taking on the Mayo back. Whether it was a free or not, he had already won that ball. He was fantastic in that game, and so was Keith Higgins, which was what makes
I think going back to what we were talking about, I think the pragmatism of Jack O'Connor was one of the most alluring traits for the county board when they were coming to going with Jack O'Connor's successor, because there was a real air of excitement around the Stephen Stack combination.
It's a serious team you put together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it had Donny Buckley, it had Dara Kaneda, it had Seamus Moynihan. I mean, just to give you a kind of a bit of a wistful thinking, you know, when we're often down at home and we're playing kind of pretend managers and we're saying, OK, what's the actual dream team from a Kerry management point of view? And we used to always say the dream team, and you could pick four of this five, was Donny Buckley coaching, Dara Kaneda, Seamus Moynihan and Declan O'Sullivan. That's what people in Kerry would say. Whoa, imagine we could get that team together. You nearly had that team together, put together by Stephen Stack. And yet the Kerry County Board still went back to Jack O'Connor for a third time. So that says a lot of things, but it says two things primarily, lads. It says, number one, they know that he has a proven track record of getting Kerry over the line. That's number two. That's number one. And the second thing is that pragmatism I mentioned earlier, those close games, his ability to get the most out of Kerry, to squeeze the most out of whatever squad he has at his disposal. He is one of those guys who he doesn't necessarily, like even in the McGrath Cup, I noticed this year. I mean, you know, the McGrath Cup, you can imagine how relevant that is, no doubt, in Kerry. Kerry were putting out extraordinarily strong teams in the McGrath Cup, like ridiculously strong teams, really. And you remember the controversy about the two lads that went from a Sigerson Cup game, drove up and came on and played 20 minutes. And Jack has said since that, I shouldn't have brought them on. You know, I shouldn't have. But the fact that they came up, I felt I was obliged, you know, and he knows he was wrong in that instance. But my point is, Jack is really not into experimenting and letting Kerry be beaten, you know, for the laugh of it. We took something from the game. Jack O'Connor is just all about winning football matches.
Was there an element, though, in those games, in those first McGrath Cup games, and I looked at the teams there, and I actually couldn't believe it, to be quite honest, the teams he put out. Was there an element there initially, because obviously there's a little bit of controversy over the appointment of keeping the wolf from the door early on, that he didn't want a situation where they put out an experimental team possibly and get turned over by Limerick and questions are being asked, etc., etc.? Was there an element there as well?
I would say that's 100% accurate. And I would also say he'll go back. His very, very first game as Kerry manager in 2004 was an away league game against Longford, and they lost by a point, and he was nearly ran out of the county after it. And so I would imagine he's really not in the business of repeating something like that again. But I would say, Stephen, you're bang on. I would say because of the circumstances, he just didn't really need any smell hanging around the front door. He just needed to get off there, get cracking straight away, win by whatever he had to win with, and, you know, move on to the league then.
It's funny, Tony, what you've described there in terms of Kerry's travails over the last 10 years, it's exactly the type of problem, weakness that a Mayo team is perfect to exploit, as it has done in certain games like a league final that they celebrate so much, but a couple of key championship games, as we know, and you mentioned 17. So how important then, from Jack's perspective, in the mindset change that he needs to have, is it to stop Mayo this weekend? Mayo haven't lost a league game in Kerry since 2009. Is this league fixture quite important for Jack's plans?
Oh, well it's I mean, there's different tiers of importance, in fairness, Rob, with this one, but it's not important in the sense of retaining Division One status. And that's kind of been an ongoing issue for Kerry, you know, not so much in the last couple of years, but under Eamon, there was a couple of years. I'm sure you've seen copious mentions of the 2013 this week with reference to Dublin when Kerry lost the first four games. But it's not a big game. I think if Kerry were to lose next Saturday night, and I know this doesn't suit the narrative of the show, lad, so I apologise in advance for saying it, but it's actually not the end of the world with this one, for the good reason that they've 7 points in the bag. They've made a nice bit of progress. If I know Jack O'Connor's mindset, Jack O'Connor in his quiet moments this week is saying, we haven't lost a game yet this year. Everything is going swimmingly. Is it almost going too swimmingly? Would it be the worst thing to get a small bit of a reality check and be beaten at home Saturday night by Mayo by a point or two? You know, nothing bad is going to come of that. They're still going to have 7 points. It just means that Mayo will have 9 and Kerry will have a nice test going up the road on Sunday week against Armagh. Having said that, there's something quite... I don't know, lads, have you been down in Tralee? I covered the game. We get lost in the years now. So Mayo were in Division 2 last year. The game was in Castlebar 2020. So 2019, it was a filthy night. Do you remember Matthew Ruan?
Matty's goal. I was there, yeah.
Yeah, late on to win. Yeah, that was 2019, I think. Nobody likes, especially around Tralee, seeing Kerry lose. Those Saturday night things have really been a massive barnstormer of a success. They're getting 10,000-12,000. They get musicians and singers. Everybody crowds in because there's only one covered stand in Tralee. So if the game...
No hotels, Tony. Every hotel room's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Is it? Yeah, well, I'm sure it is again the weekend. But the point is, there's a huge vibe. The game's at 7:30. The main stand is full at 5:00. So I'm just saying it won't sit well with anybody in Kerry to lose to Mayo on Saturday night. And, you know, obviously they'll be looking to win. My point is, it won't trigger the usual crisis if Kerry were to lose on Saturday night. Usually if Kerry lose at home in a National League game, there's a fortnight of a post-mortem after it. You know, I mean, are we doing this? Maybe we weren't as good. I don't think that's really where they are. And as I said, I think if you actually caught Jack O'Connor off guard right now, he might say, you know what? Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world now to get turned over on Saturday night by Mayo and just maybe bring a reality check to the squad and to the county at large.
Billy Joe Padden says in the Mayo News today, Tony, that Mayo have the edge around the middle eight on Kerry, and that's where Kerry will be looking to match up well with them. Kerry obviously have the firepower. Do you agree with that? And how much would it take for Kerry to bridge that gap between now and the summer?
Well, the middle eight is an interesting issue. I would actually say the middle two is really what you need to focus on. Kerry are fine at 5, 6, 7, 10, 11 and 12. There's loads of options there. I mean, the only downside in the first couple of games this year was Sean O'Shea actually playing at midfield. You saw how badly he was missed at 11. I think Sean O'Shea is the key player with Kerry. This goes back to the perennial debate in Kerry where you say, OK, we're in a transfer market and you had the ability to sign one of these players. Would you sign Declan O'Sullivan or would you sign Cullum Cooper? Everybody would have automatically said Cullum Cooper. I would have always said Declan O'Sullivan. Every day. Same conversation, he said no. Would you sign David Clifford or would you sign Sean O'Shea? I know it's very hard to go against David Clifford, but I'm sorry, I'd want Sean O'Shea. He is the man who makes Kerry tick. So once he's at 11, you're really down then, Rob, to discussing who's at 8 and 9. And where Kerry had 4 options at the start of the year, at the moment they're struggling. Where Kerry had 5 options at the start of the year. I forgot about McCunver. They now only have 3 tops because David Moran is struggling to get back. He is back training. But as Stephen said earlier, there's a huge amount of miles in his legs at this stage. And, you know, I mean, even though allowing for the hard ground when we get to May, I think he's an off-the-bench option. I don't think David Moran will start for Kerry this year. Stephen Akumbra is gone. Adrian Spillane has done well. And then you have the two Nigel lads. You know, are the Nigel lads the finished article? Jack Barry is as close as he's going to get to his version of the finished article. Dermot O'Connor still has a lot of room, still has a lot of ceiling above him. I think he's a serious player, but probably will be better in a couple of years' time. So the problems there, Rob, in Kerry are in terms of, not necessarily for April, but I'm talking about for June, to making sure that at that stage they have their settled 8 and 9 and they have somebody like two more to come off the bench, and they're not in that place yet. They're the keeper and the two midfielders are the main things to be sorted at the minute.
So what's the solution there, Tony? And I completely agree with you. I think Dermot O'Connor potentially can be an outstanding inter-county midfielder. He has a huge ceiling. You know, at times, you know, he looks fantastic. And I agree with regards to Jack Barry. You know, he's at an age now, he's probably not going to get a lot better. He's been maligned at times in terms of some of his performances. The All-Ireland semi-final last year being one of them. So, like, what do you see, you know, what do you see the solution to that being? I like Spillane in midfield at times, but I do think he's better at 12 or 10. So, you know, is there something outside the box Kerry can probably do there? No.
There isn't, Stephen. When you say outside the box, I'll tell you what I think will happen.
Outside the box, I mean, you know, do they go with three or four across the middle? You know, do they drop someone out? Do they leave space? You know, do they play, do they play less numbers up top, fill the middle third, you know, negate that weakness they might have there? But are you robbing Peter to pay Paul if you?
I would still think, lads, that once it gets to the summer, I'm not certain it'll be a weakness. And I'll tell you why. When I say Kerry have traditionally done this, I think most counties have traditionally done this, where you literally have, and you'll know what I mean by this, a number 8 and a number 9, the number 9 being the support act. I mean, you remember Seamus Scanlon was the epitome of that. William Kirby was the epitome. He was the second banana to Dara O'Shea. Seamus Scanlon was the second banana, but an extremely effective footballer, let me tell you. He would go round, he would be the one who'd walk into fellas, who'd hop off fellas, who'd take the hits. Adrian Spillane has the potential to be that. So you might be right, Stephen. It might be that he actually has a jersey number of 10. I would say right now, Dermot O'Connor starts for Kerry. And if he's the artist, then we need the artisan alongside him. So it would be Dermot O'Connor and either Jack Barry or Adrian Spillane, or maybe Jack Barry and Adrian Spillane. You know, Adrian Spillane being number 12, Jack Barry being 9. Obviously, there is the club connection there in the Gael with the two lads, Jack Barry and Dermot O'Connor. So they're not, Steve, going to pull a rabbit from the hat, because there isn't a rabbit there now. Stephen O'Cunber was the rabbit from the hat. But, like, realistically, by the time he returns from... I think I'm right in saying it's a dislocated shoulder. I could be doing... Yeah, was it? Yeah, it was. So, realistically, like, it's going to be... He's gone for the league. He's not going to make any league appearances at this stage. They're talking about David Moran making some bit of an appearance. So Kerry have Mayo, Armagh, and who's the last other team they have left? Who's the other game they have? Anyway, they have 3 games left. They were talking about potentially for that last league game, there's the potential that David Moran could come back. But again, going back to what you said earlier, I don't see David Moran as a starter. So where Mayo are strong, I would say there's a question mark over that spot for Kerry. In terms of what that means for Saturday night, I'd say Mayo might look at it as an advantage, but I think it's a crease that Kerry will have ironed out come the championship, I put it that way.
Right. To finish, Tony, and we're going to be spending more time on ourselves as the week goes on, but just your overall thoughts so far, in a nutshell, of what James Horan is doing at the moment and what you've seen from Mayo. I presume the Dublin game probably stands out for you, but overall, how do you feel Mayo are ticking along?
I think the narrative in the league this year is actually, I was talking to Eamon Fitzmaurice about this actually on the phone the other morning, and we were saying it's probably been in terms of kind of eyebrow raised type of stuff, it's probably been the most interesting league that there's been for quite a number of years. And I'm not just talking about the Dublin thing. going on there. But Mayo, I mean, and again, you know this a lot better than me, so I'm obviously I'm speaking outside as an outsider in Mayo. The players that Mayo have, I won't say blooded, but have basically worked into the league, I think have all done very well. I think Armagh are basically, I know we're just talking about Mayo now, but I think Armagh are a really nice story. I think Derry are a really interesting story. There's an awful lot of sides actually making improvements. Outside of Mayo, let's call a spade here. Outside of Mayo, everyone is waiting for you to wither on the vine. Everybody is waiting to say, okay, listen, you know what? They're a busted flush at this stage. They're gone. And then Dermot O'Connor goes out injured and it's like, oh, well, then they're absolutely gone. And every which while, Mayo keep turning around and confounding everybody and doing what they did again last year. I know, you know, it came a cropper in the final. They've thrown three or four more guys into the mix. Is it Adrian or Aidan Orm?
Aidan Orm, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, has looked tasty. I've only seen him in the Donegal game and I've seen him in the Dublin game. The Donegal game obviously was you couldn't actually make any judgment because it was an absolute shocker of a day, if you remember. But I would imagine James Horn can't be unhappy with what he's got from the league, leaving aside the 7 points that he's accumulated so far. You know, again, you asked the question, you know, how big of a deal would it be for Jack O'Connor to lose on Saturday night? I'm not certain it would be a huge deal for James Horan to lose on Saturday night. I'm really not. I think both managers will come away from Saturday night and be very happy with their night's work, whatever happens, because they're going to take something from it. You know, Mayo travelling down to Tralee. I know they won the last time there, but it's a tough place to go, lads. It's a tough place to go and come away with a win. And whether they win or don't win on Saturday night, you know, it's telling James Horn, this Aidan lad, is he, you know, okay, no, he's, I mean, when you talk about league tests, are you talking about Croke Park or are you talking about Tralee being a sterner examination? I'm nearly saying Tralee's a sterner examination.
At the moment it is, yeah.
Yeah, other end of the country as well, not sure what the weather will be like. We have had absolutely brutal weather for the Kerry games in Tralee. The Dublin game was an absolute washout. And I'm not sure what the forecast is like, but it'll be hot down there atmosphere-wise. And I remember, and again, lads, my head is going at this stage. I'm puggled after a day's work. One of the lads who played midfield that night, wasn't Matthew Ruan. I think he was playing wing. Who was playing wing forward that night for Mayo 2 years ago in Tralee?
Let's check John's blog while you're talking there.
My point just is that I remember coming away that night thinking to myself, that's a find. He's a good lad, that lad. He's really good. And I, as I said, I think if James Horn is coming away, whether he has the 2 points in the bag, whether he hasn't, whether he loses by a couple of points, I think what he's actually going back in the bus talking about with his management is, this guy now has shown us like that, you know, he's there now for the summer. He's going to be able to. He is someone that we can rely on in our 22, whether it's a starting 15 or whether it's coming off the bench. He is someone who's going to give us something.
Brilliant, yeah. Fionn McDonagh had a stormer that
Fionn
night.
Fionn McDonagh. Fionn McDonagh. That was exactly the guy. Well done. Yeah.
John's Mayo GA blog comes up good again there and quick searches. Fionn was stormer on that night. Listen, Tony, it's been brilliant chatting to you. There's a reason why in Mayo there's people picking up the Examiner every Monday to grab that GA supplement because it's bloody brilliant. And, you know, we're not just saying that because you've given us your time, but you're doing fantastic work for not just covering the games, but covering them in a way that really engages people who love Gaelic football. And as you well know, people up this part of the world bloody love the sport. Oh, so
absolutely, absolutely. Work. And yeah, Kerry and Mayo. Yeah, I would always pair the two of them, the two counties. It's incredible. One of my closest buddies is Liam Horn. I'm sure you know Liam very well.
Oh, he's in my own town. He's in my own club.
In Ballinrobe, yeah. Lost his dad there, as you know, a week or two ago. And yeah, I mean, we get into these conversations. We used to get into these lengthy emails. And Jesus, we'd sort the world between the two of us, like football-wise, you know. But we're still trying to sort the world. Like, I mean, we're on number 37 All-Ireland, by the way. since 2014. So you're not the only one with a drought. Don't forget that one.
Go away out of that.
I'll see you, lads.
Let me just count ours again. Hang on, give me a sec.
That was like 85 to 97. It was a complete catastrophe. It was, or 86 to 97.
I can't remember when we last. When did we last win one? I have to check. Sorry, we don't think about those things that we're doing.
Listen to me, 86 to 97 was officially and formally categorized as a famine.
Like that Tipperary hurling famine, but not as bad. All right, that's enough of that. Tony, in a word, what pub should I go to after the game?
Go downtown. Well, on the way down, if you want a really quiet pint in a really quaint place, the Sportsfield Bar is right next to Austin Stack Park. Once you go downtown, like, you know, there's Paddy Max, there's the Brogue, the Grand. Once you're down in the square, lads, you could literally nod your head one way or the other and you're going to fall in the door of a pub.
Well, I was in college in Tralee, Tony, so I know them all. I know them all well at that stage.
Oh, excellent.
I spent half my time in them.
You're the man to be with Saturday night, so.
Stephen, you got to get on Discord and let all the people, all the Patreons know. Tony, thanks a million. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Take care. A mention of a new sponsor, Nigel Reap Office Supplies. Yes, friend of the podcast, Nigel Reap as well. But his main day job, as you well know, most of you will know, is in the printing business. Posters, signs, lotto booklets. That'll speak to a lot of our GA listeners. He can get it all done for you up in Knockmore. Give him a shout at 086-858-6572. 086-858-6572. Nigel Reap Office Supplies has come on board for our Mayo News Football Podcast weekly show to support us this year. And we thank him for that. Of course, he sponsored one of our Players of the Week awards during the club championship last year. And we'll be chatting to him later in the season, no doubt, too, about all things football. In the meantime, big thanks to Nigel for joining the team, so to speak. Mick, just chatting to Tony there and just listening to what he was saying, it struck me as something that you said off air beforehand. You were chatting to some, I'm going to call them Kerry in-laws. That's the best way I could, from the way you set up the story down in Dingle.
Friends, grand,
from that part of the world, who you were kind of saying, oh, steamrolling their way through the early stages, and anger came out as they said, we're done with this. We've had enough of these early season steamrolling. I think most of the talk around Kerry this year is coming from outside Kerry. You know, I think in Kerry, there's a real sense of like what we have, wait and see. Like,
yeah, you're quite right. Even after the Dublin game, I was below in Tralee after the Dublin game, and again texting the same audience again to see, and it was, you know, you'd think they'd be really pleased to beat Dublin. It was like, who cares, like, what's the matter, what are Dublin at, like, what was, and on top of that, then it was like, Dublin won't be like that in 2 or 3 months time either, you know, that kind of way. So like the thing that stress and anxiety and fear and loathing is what has driven Kerry yea long these however many hundred years, you know, 100 and odd years. That fear that they're not going to be the best, the fear that they'll win one, but they win one this year, but Jesus, they might win it again next year, no, or that Cork might beat them or something. It's, there's always something at the back of their minds. So at the moment, it is that element of, yeah, we're capable of playing this beautiful football, but we're not winning the games we need to win. And where is that edge going to come from? And a lot of the time with league football, I think, you know, again, you look at Mayo in a similar way and say, yeah, they're doing A, B and C, and this guy's doing well, that guy's doing well. When it comes down to it in championship, you look back to the last championship game and say, what do they need to improve from the last, what do they need to improve from the last time they played against Tyrone? And you look at the first games and go, well, are they doing it? And fairly fast, whatever happened in the league will become irrelevant. You will only look at the league. If they do the stuff that they need to do to improve from the Tyrone performance, then you look back at the league games and go, yeah, we saw that. We saw the strains of that during the league. And it's the same with Kerry. They will take the results and they will take the performances, and, you know, it keeps them ticking over and ticking over. And I'm sure they'll want to get to a league final because the gap, even though it's a condensed season, the gap before the Munster Championship gets going is relatively long. So they might, I'm sure they'd want an extra game. So they'll be tipping over, but they won't be putting any more stock on the league this year than they would any other year.
All right, first question to Stephen, second question to Mick, you can take it from there. But your version of this question is, Stephen, what is the reason behind Mayo people feeling more positive about their team right now? And is it solely related to results?
No, it isn't solely related to results. You know, there's an element of that, obviously. So there's a positivity, you know, because, you know, we've had a good start to the league campaign. And because there was such a low after the Ireland final, you know, it was nearly like a death in the family, so to speak, around here. The postmortems, you know, extended long into the winter. It was all that was talked about at the dinner table over Christmas, in the pubs, in the bars, you know, the capitulation. You know, we played the game over in our heads about 50 or 60 times over those few months. So, you know, there's been a certain element of, you know, rejuvenation over the last four games or so that's brought, you know, the supporters back in, right? So that the blanket's been put over them again, you know, they're back into the fold, and that, you know, that element and that feel-good factor is back. You know, it was packed down there in Hyde Park last weekend, huge crowds. So, you know, from the perspective of the depression after the final, that has been lifted, right? From a playing perspective, you know, we're certainly doing things different and we're trying to do different things. I think the best, you know, the best example of that was obviously the Dublin game, and we spoke about that at length on the podcast. Like, Dublin are not where they were, nowhere near close to it, but you could see shoots from Mayo in relation to how they wanted to play the game and putting a plan B in place, shifting the ball with the boot, you know, not committing as many halfbacks, midfielders forward, looking to isolate guys inside. The movement was a lot better. You know, again, guys like Aidan Norm coming into the fold, that extra option. You know, the performances of Jermot O'Connor over the last three or four games, he's like a different player. You know, the player that won two Young Player of the Year awards. So from our perspective, there's been really good positives. And a shift in terms of the style of play we're playing. Not saying we're going to, you know, continue that for the year, but from our perspective, we wanted to see Mayo offer something different ultimately, because, you know, it was death by a thousand cuts for us over the last number of years. It was always try and bludgeon teams to death. And when that wasn't working, you know, we kept banging the door to try and bludgeon them to death. So we were looking for that bit of variety, that bit of switch, that bit of change. And we're starting to see that. Hasn't been perfect, but, you know, we're looking like we're formulating that second or third plan.
Mick, are you seeing some real substance behind that? And do you feel that's got summer relevance in it?
Yeah, it's good to see them kicking the ball a bit more. And I, you know, it's one thing that always bothered me about Mayo, and I think it's part of the reason why they haven't got over the line in All-Ireland, is that tendency for halfbacks and cornerbacks to be further up the field than their forwards. And ultimately, and I know it's part of the way they play the game, and I know that some of the guys who are coming forward are well able to kick scores and stuff like that, but ultimately, when the fat is in the fire and you need a point clipped over by a natural forward, you don't want it in the hands of a cornerback or a water-carrying midfielder, you know what I mean? So, like, I like that bit more structure to them. The fact also that they have players that can actually do it up front is going to be key. And again, I'll come back to that thing. Like, this, it looks good at the moment, and, like, there's been some very good performance. Really, really good. I mean, the Dublin game, for me, I was trying to think back on the times I've seen Mayo, the league matches I've been at over the years with Mayo, and I can't really think of a better performance in the league game than Mayo would give that. And, you know, whatever, we could talk about Dublin till the cows come home, but you can only look at what Mayo have done on the night, and they did everything really well. The other thing as well that struck me actually was about the reaction from the public and the support after the Tyrone game. Now, my view on this, I seem to remember, Rob, I think I was on this podcast just after the All-Ireland maybe, and we were chatting about this, and I was kind of making the point possibly at the time, I'm starting to make it now anyway, that, you know, if you look at the totality of the last two or three years for Horan since he's come back, I mean, he's done a remarkable job really in recycling the squad while getting teams to All-Ireland finals, albeit in truncated circumstances with COVID and all the rest of it. But they've got to two All-Ireland finals. Played poorly against Tyrone, okay. But in the totality of the whole thing, you know, and they've won a league as well. Like, I mean, they've done, you know, he's done really, really well. And if you look at the squad, I mean, you know, you're seeing the fruits now of all that labour again, just being shown. Terrific, terrific variety in the squad, terrific depth off the bench, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, sorry, to get to the point, the thing that struck me is that, like, for years now, people have talked rightly about the quality of the Mayo support, you know, and the support that the team gets and all the rest of it, and they come out in such incredible numbers and so on, and it's a journey for them as much as the team, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, I've always felt over the years, I'd say that stuff twists Horn's gut. I'd say all the hype and all the loving doesn't mean anything. Like, it's about winning. You know, when you're a manager or when you're in that bubble and when you're in that kind of intense environment, you just want to get the performance to win, you know? And I would imagine that having lost and the reaction, he can turn around to players and say, lads, that's not it. That's how it is. Like, these guys, the public are fantastic and they will clap you on the back and they will support you. But if you don't deliver, you're nothing to them, like, and they will turn on you, and they have turned on you now. And right now in 2022, it's only the people in this room. We're the only ones who understand what we got to do now. And that could be the realization. It's a siege mentality. And, like, they have got, I mean, instead of feeling sorry for themselves, they now have the fuel for a siege mentality, i.e. we're the only ones on God's green earth that possibly believe in ourselves now. The Mayo Nation basically absconded on us in our hour of need, right? And I'm talking about the kind of the wider public. I know there's a hardcore there who will understand what's going on and all the rest of it, but just the wider thing I'm talking about.
Or even, Mick, just add in there, even the fact that there's a justification to a lot of the criticism that was coming their way, because that's sport.
Yeah.
But it's the realization that those guys who pat you on the back are also in the position to be independently just judging you, and ergo can be just brutally critical.
It's the old thing about and they're a young squad as well. And maybe, you know, that old party phrase about, you know, all the old patting the back being 6 inches from kicking the arse. I mean, they've got that now. And they've come back playing very good, determined football. And what's very encouraging is that they have won games in a variety of different ways this spring, which I think is really, really good.
Stephen, your thoughts on that? Like,
yeah, well, it's right, really. You know, and Mika's right in what he's saying. You know, the supporters did, in a sense, you know, and it wasn't the gallant final defeat, the swashbuckling performance that we've seen against, you know, another finals against Dublin. It was a disappointing day at the office. We didn't perform to the level that the team was capable of, and ultimately, then, you know, the gallant loser, it wasn't there, you know, and you know, that's really when you realize who's really backing you, so to speak, and a lot of people abandoned the team in that regard. So it can create a siege mentality without question, and it's probably something that would have benefited the team, because, you know, this narrative of being brilliant all the time while still, you know, not getting over the line is wearisome. So they will look for, again, what you're looking for in these situations are those minute percents that will bring them to the next step. And if James can take any advantage, you know, from what had happened last September, he's going to do it. And, you know, the team do look a bit, you know, they do look steely in the first four games. And again, they have won games in different ways, as Mick pointed out. So, look, we are in a good place, and we have, you know, we're bringing guys forward, and we're creating more options for ourselves, and the depth is better. So, look, from our perspective, the next step in that journey is the weekend, and you know, can we get across that line, and can we produce again and produce a strong performance?
Mick, some people reckon Mayo have a new squad already established. Like you talk to some people and they're suggesting that this feels like there's something, you know, something new has emerged, and a lot of comparisons between 17 and now. So 17 Mayo had literally 16 players is the constant thing that people say. You could pick the first 14 and it was Dermot O'Connor or Paddy Durkin. So now Mayo look like they have 25, 26. Is that something that you feel, or could that be a little bit misconstrued?
I think it's... Yeah, they probably do. I'm thinking because, like, I mean, what you
suggested this is the best team ever from Mayo on the way?
No. I don't think, no more than the Dubs at the minute. I mean, there's been a caliber of player have stepped away from Mayo in the last couple of years that were really, really exceptional. Like, now, you also have, to be fair, they have been not necessarily directly replaced, but you have had guys like Oisín Mullen come straight to mind, like, as someone who's just come in. And Paddy Durkin also has developed along over the years into something very special, and Lee Keegan just continues to be extraordinary. So, I mean, you know, you still have these kind of elemental once-in-a-generation presences there. The reason I was kind of coughing and humming and hawing there kind of was like, it's hard to tell at the moment. The problem I've had with Mayo in the league over the years often is that you see this sort of regurgitation of players that have been coming in and out for years, and then you see them coming on during championship time and they do nothing. And you're like going, all right, they're back for another match in February against Dublin. And yeah, they lost again. And yeah, what about such and such? I didn't even know him on the field. And you'll see him coming on in a championship game or even starting. The difference this year, I think, so far anyway, is that you're seeing, like, there's more players. Like, I mean, and I'm not attributing that criticism to the guys I'm going to mention, but the likes of Michael Plunkett, for example. Michael Plunkett has been a player who's been developing along nicely for a couple of years. He's looked really, really good to me this year in particular. And there are others like that. And as I say, I'm not saying that Michael Plunkett was a kind of a, you know, waste of space before that. I'm not talking about him in particular, but there would have been a group there. But you can see there's a development there. Also, it has to be said that this is the first year, again, COVID, this is the first time that they've had a proper run at it. There's more than based at home. All this stuff. I mean, ordinarily back the years, you'd have a rake of Mayo lads over in Dublin and they'd be making a burst at the end of the league to stay up, and they'd stay up and no one would bat an eyelid and say, well, look, at this is why. This year's kind of different. I think you've got a lot more guys within shooting distance of Castlebar. So they can kind of recalibrate that way too. So they're going to, you know, they're going to hopefully, and they are looking a lot stronger. So, but I think there are, I mean, look, you look at the bench that came off the bench the last thing against Armagh, it is impressive. You know, I mean, Paddy Durkin isn't going to be a sub in the White Heat of Championship. Páraic O'Hara might be. Aidan O'Shea might be. Kevin McLaughlin might be. Fergal Boland might be. So, like, you know, that's good. Like, when you see guys like that, and, you know, I think that's what Horan has wanted, isn't it? You know, to kind of get that bench to that level that they can close out games. And they've very clearly been strong in the last quarter of games. So it's all signs are good. You know, all signs are good. I remember I was on this, the last time I was on this, I said I thought Galway would win an All-Ireland before Mayo would.
Oh, and you did. You finished the podcast.
I got into trouble.
We brought you on. Yeah, Stephen
is shocked. But I tell you, this was my thinking, right? I was kind of half hopping ball, but my thinking was that Galway were the kind of crowd in a championship in flux who would slip in and win an All-Ireland. In another era, they would do that.
98.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they've got more natural footballers in terms of attackers, right? They have more natural footballers. But when you look at Mayo now, and in the last couple of months, you look at the guys, like the Aidan Arms of this world, and, you know, Jack Carney has looked good. There's been a lot of different young lads have come in and looked good. You're kind of going, you know what? Killian's coming back. Pity Tommy Conroy won't be there. But, like, there's enough about the squad in the year that's in it, with the way things are in other places, that you'd say they are still top three. They really are, if not top two.
I think that's official retraction there, Stephen.
I'm half hopping the ball.
Just to clarify, we brought you on the podcast a week or two when things were really raw after losing the worst All-Ireland final yet. And you finished it off by saying, to be honest, lads, I think Galway might win one before you. Like, I mean, you're supposed to be our friend.
I would categorically say Galway will not win one before Mayo.
I think that's reasonable.
And I'm pretty confident in saying that. I don't really rate them as such, but look, that's a different
podcast. I do retract. If anybody was under any illusions that I wasn't hopping ball, it was more about It was more about the forwards and the, you know, the ability to come in and just do it on the day, you know, on a big day, do it.
And,
you know?
And the fact that you didn't get a Mayo News Football Podcast Christmas card was completely down to COVID issues. In the
of course it was.
We were delighted to get yours, you know, in fairness. Enough of that. Come here, just to finish, because we got the, what we're now calling the clubhouse section of the podcast, just for our Patreon listeners. We will have a bit of crack in there. And you know what I'll get you to do in there? I'll get you to name all the counties you think who could win in All-Ireland. We'll do that in a second. But to finish this section of the Mayo News Football Podcast, Stephen, bottom line, what kind of game are you expecting? Who do you think will edge it?
Well, look, it'll depend on the weather, really. You know, Tralee, look, a typhoon seems to follow that pitch around constantly. And it's just miserable half the time. So if we get, if we get a nice, placid evening, I think you could have a cracking game of football. And I think, there could be a huge level of physicality, because it, two teams that will want to assert their masculinity, so to speak, and assert their dominance. And if we get a good evening, I think it could be a cracker. And I think it could be high scoring, because both teams are attacking well. They're putting up good scores. And I think they could go out of hammer and tongs. If I was to put my neck on the line, I possibly think Kerry might win by a point or two at this point in time. But from our perspective, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if we won by a couple of points.
Mick, if you had to put your money down.
Something similar. Like, Kerry aren't fooling around with their selections either. That's the other thing.
No.
Like, I think.
No, very consistent.
Like Mayo have picked, I think it's 31 or two players, or, 31 or two players.
31,
31 have gotten game time. I'm not sure the same number. Like, I mean, literally, I was at the McGrath Cup final and I looked at the team that actually started that game. And I was like, oh my God, we're not missing this year. And they really haven't been missing. They've put out their, whatever is their strongest team. Okay, the odd night you might have Clifford on the bench and he comes in and whatever. But I think maybe Kerry, just at the moment, home advantage sort of thing, you know. But I mean, it could go, as Stephen said, it's conditions and it could go either way. If Mayo were to come away with a win, you would not be in any way surprised. Like, you know.
Good position to be in. Top of the table, going down to Tralee, and Mick Foley saying if Mayo comes away with a win, Stephen, he wouldn't be surprised. That's the general consensus. Mayo, a different level than we expected to be back in January.
Look, how often have we been here over the last number of years where we're sitting on a point after four games or 2 points after four games and staring down the barrel of relegation, you know, outside of the league final win a couple of years ago. But, you know, pretty much every other year outside of that, struggling relegation a couple of years ago. So we're in a lovely position at the moment. It's a free shot, so to speak. I'm sure he'll experiment again. He'll look to see some of the younger guys possibly in that more steely environment. But from our perspective, free shot at the posts, and you know, performance is the key.
Stick around for the clubhouse, Mick, but thanks a million.
No problem.
Stephen, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, chat to you soon.
In a few seconds.
Yeah, for our Patreon. 10 seconds.
Talk to you soon, folks. Thanks for listening. Join you in a week.